Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right. So, John.
Yes.
This is a pre-recorded podcast.
Very pre-recorded.
What makes it very pre-recorded? I would think a very pre-recorded. It'll be like a year in advance.
That'd be pretty
crazy. Awesome. We should do that.
That'd be amazing.
We should record one that will be released a year from now and see.
Like at holiday time, like, and we'll do news.
Oh my gosh.
And like fake the news. Like it's like fake future
fake
news.
Fake the news. That's a new segment too.
Fake the news.
We could be like, Nintendo has.
What we could do is play our like news intro, but backwards, like reverse it.
Nintendo has released its successor to the Virtual Boy. And this time it is green and black rather than red and black.
And this giant power glove, I can just imagine.
They've released a power suit rather than a power glove.
I feel like that's Thanos' favorite game system right there. Just.
Yes! I hope next time we see him, Thanos is playing,
playing the
Nintendo with the power glove.
With the power glove. I feel like that'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. I would freak out, dude.
Oh,
I would stand up in the middle of the theater, probably get popcorn and ice cream thrown at my back.
That's in Guardians 2.
Yes. Can you get ice cream at movie theaters?
Oh, dude, I feel like that they'd be missing the boat because like summer blockbusters would just lend themselves to ice cream.
I don't think I've ever gotten ice cream at a movie theater.
I feel like it'd be really messy though. Like I think that they would probably, but and then again, nacho cheese is really messy too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends on if it was in a cup or if it was on a cone.
Ooh.
You know.
Ooh.
In the dark, the cone could possibly drip all over your hands.
Or like, yeah, you lick it off and it just like falls off
man,
on your lap.
Like the classic terrible fat kid move.
Or like the too much force. Like I feel like I've like put too much force into a lick before. Like you get too excited about the ice cream and you
do it with gusto.
Yeah, and then it goes all over your lap.
Oh man, that's even worse than the ground.
Just
not
all
only
over it.
Do you not have the ice cream anymore, but it is all over parts of your body. It should not.
It's cold. It's wet. It's sticky. It's just gross.
It's in your socks.
Oh, dude, ice cream in your shoes. Ice cream sundaes. You know how you get like the baseball games, you get like ice cream sundaes in the hat.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it's like that, but worse if it's in your shoe.
Let me tell you a story, John.
Okay.
So
hit me, Chris.
I think I've talked on the podcast before that I'm trying to visit every Major League Baseball park.
This is true.
All right. And so I had heard about these things called helmet nachos.
Yes.
Okay. So you get a plastic large kind of toy helmet, and then they put the nachos inside them. Okay.
You say you've heard about these things as if like they're the Yeti in the forest.
No, because, okay. So at Busch Stadium, they have them in St. Louis.
Every picture you take of them is blurry.
Last year, I went to one of the first games I went to last year was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
For a Braves Cardinals game. And I looked all over. I literally spent probably two innings of this base, maybe three. innings of this baseball game.
That's looking, a third of the baseball game, Chris.
I know. Looking for, because I was like, okay, I'm gonna get helmet nachos at every Major League Baseball stadium, and then I'm gonna like hang up all the helmets on my wall.
The pressure is on.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have any, and I was
so they really just like they didn't exist.
Well, I looked online and I was like, you know, Braves helmet nachos. And like some pictures popped up and I was like, okay, cool. Well, they have them somewhere because like
they exist.
The thing about these ballparks is like, okay, the different stations and the different places have different foods. And sometimes it's like, well, this place is the only place in the whole stadium who has short ribs.
That's true.
You know? And so I'm like, okay, I have to find the place. It's not like it's here somewhere. I just have to find it.
Right.
Not there.
You were like Indiana Jones and you had to find, you know, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
The helmet of the Braves.
There was a snake pit and a giant
rolling ball.
Yes. A giant rolling baseball.
Oh, gosh.
No helmet nachos there. And so that foiled my plans.
You got rolled over by the giant ball.
Yeah, I did get helmet nachos, though, at the Reds Stadium in Cincinnati.
Cool.
And I think I got helmet nachos. Did I get helmet nachos in St. Louis?
Did you get them at the Cubs Stadium, though?
No, none there.
Well, like, that's the other thing. Like, there, it's a lot harder because, like, if you're out in the outfield, it's a lot harder to get from there, like, to down below, like, behind the plate.
Or even, so we were up in the upper deck.
You know? Almost anywhere,
and I guess. And you have to walk, like, a half mile up to the upper deck.
Yeah.
And the only place that there's food is down at the bottom.
Yeah, there's really no direct path, so.
And so, I wasn't going back down there after I went up.
So even if the helmet nachos existed there, you were like, yeah, but they you can keep them down there.
They would have to be, like helmet hot dogs, the helmet dogs.
Nice.
I mean, that would be that something would drag that Chicago, you down there. No, I think that's what Chicago would have if they had that's anything true. In a helmet besides ice cream. I did figure out, though, that pretty much everyone has ice cream in a helmet.
It's the small little helmets, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So I think...
That's now, your new goal?
That's my goal.
But did you get ice cream and a helmet at the Braves Stadium?
No.
You got to go back, Chris.
I know. That's the bad thing.
Gosh.
I have to redo this.
This is, it's just disastrous. It's quickly
unraveling.
It's so sad, dude.
My friends.
Like, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, darn, we got to go to another baseball game.
That's true. You can't really complain too
much. We got to go have fun eating, you know, park food. Oh, darn.
Yeah. I would, that's the thing. You know, like, I'm on this quest,
yeah.
John.
You've got to.
I want to maintain my forward momentum and not go backward.
And you've only got so much time. Like, you realize, like, this is going to take years, you know?
Are you saying I'm going to die soon?
Chris, the earth is spinning and revolving around the sun. And it doesn't stop. Time stops for no man.
Even if I only go to one a year, it's 30 years. Hopefully I'm not dead in 30 years.
This is all true. Oh, my gosh. It's so late.
Oh man, yes. So
really
yeah,
morbid.
I only have limited time.
This
so
really
I can't
morbid.
Go to multiple ones.
Yeah, you can't go back. Can't retread.
I get to the end of my life, like, well, I'm one short of going to every major league stadium. I shouldn't have gone back for the ice cream.
I kind of envision you not going back for like the actual, but like paying some kid through the fence, like, yeah, to go get you your.
That's. I mean, I could probably. You know. This is the other funny thing. I could probably find all of this online somewhere and just order it.
But it's not okay. So but the collectibles and any collectible for that matter.
Yeah.
Like no matter what it is, even like my Baymax figure here, my Robin figure here.
Yeah.
It's like it's not the collectible that really matters.
Yeah.
It's the story behind the collectible.
That's true. Hey.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
While we were at Disney, this was like last week, but like 2 weeks ago for the people listening to the podcast.
Yes.
We ran the Dopey Challenge down at Disney for Run Disney Marathon weekend. But also like while we were in the parks, we rode Space Mountain.
Yes.
And you come out of Space Mountain into a arcade of sorts.
Which like was an amazing arcade, by the way. They had asteroids. They had Space Invaders. They had Crazy Taxi.
There's legitimately like just so many things in this place that were super cool.
What I played
you played a pinball machine.
Pirates of the Caribbean pinball machine.
Yeah, they had like X-Men pinball, and they had an Avengers one that was kind of unplugged. And they had, what was the other one that they had?
Indiana Jones. It was also out of order.
It was out of order, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The giant ball. Rolling balls had knocked it out of order somehow. Anyway, but they also had the claw machines. And something I collect is these little Funko Pops. And so it's something a lot of people collect are these Funko Pops. Anyway, so I collect these vinyl figures and inside these machines, like what caught my eye initially, I was just kind of moseying along, like looking, seeing what they had to see. I was, everybody else was kind of, you know, spread out across the entire thing in the gift shop and stuff. Anyway, so I'm walking by and something catches my eye. It's the box of a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
And I look over and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a Captain America Funko Pop in the bottom of this claw machine. And I was like, that's cool. I don't really want any of the ones that were in that particular machine. So like, I kind of like look around and I look to my left and I see the Toy Story alien just like, about maybe a dozen of them in this claw machine. I'm kind of standing there like with my hands in my pockets and I'm like, kind of like my heart rate rises and I'm like, man, should I do it? Should I try for this? And I was like looking around to like to try to figure out, you know, if everybody's wrapping it up and to see what was going on. I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. So like I pull out a dollar, I try it, and it's like, well, I knocked it over, moved it a little, and I tried it a little more. And there was a kid who came over and like in between one of my tries or whatever, he tried for one, and it actually picked it up. But it didn't make it all the way. I thought it was going to make it, but it didn't make it all the way into the bucket.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, I know it's possible.
Yes.
I know it's possible to do this now. And so I actually did it and won it on the seventh try. So $7 in. and got the alien, the Toy Story alien, from the claw machine. The claw.
The claw. That's amazing. Like, no other item is as coveted from a claw machine as an alien from Toy Story.
I agree.
I will post, you posted a picture
I did.
On Twitter. I will post a link to that at stayontargetpodcast.com. So I walked up. I had gone to the restrooms.
Okay.
Come back, and I was looking for you guys, and I couldn't find Dee Dee. I couldn't find you, and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of looking around. I'm like, well, maybe they left. Maybe they like went to the teacups, or I don't know where they went. And then I kind of round the corner, and I see you like over by this claw machine. I'm like, oh man, you're gonna do it. And then like the very next time, you got it. Dude, it was amazing.
It was perfect timing. It was yeah. You were the key. Yeah, like, you were the luck key.
Yes.
Because like it was really weird. Because like you line it up and it's like in the claw spins, and so like you have to try it a few times to get to Thea for it. But
yeah.
Stuck with it.
The one that you had ended up getting was that the one you had been going for the whole time?
Not the whole time. Like I was going for whichever one was the most likely to do it, and there was a specific position where they were like face down that was more likely. Like it was easier to pick them up in that position than it was if they were sitting upright. And so like I made sure like I focused on those, and it was either that one or it was another one, the one that was right next to it, and they were both face down. But on the previous turn I had gone for the other one and actually set it upright. So this was the last one that was face down, and I was like, all right, well, let's just go for that one, you know, again. So so it wasn't the one that I was going for the whole time, but it was the in the perfect position to go for, and I had gone for it about two or three more times previous. So
that's wild. That's awesome.
It was amazing.
I
couldn't believe it. I did quite a few fist pumps.
So as I'm sitting here, this is not a news segment we're doing.
Okay.
But someone just sent me a piece of news that we need to talk about.
Ooh, it's hot news.
Hot news.
Hot news.
It's definitely week old news at this point for those of you listening. We referenced last week that we wouldn't be talking about week old news.
Come on, Chris.
I'm sorry.
You're making liars out of us.
But we are. Suicide Squad, Tom Hardy was slated to play Rick Flagg. He's now out!
Which makes sense. More sense for him to be out because he's already been in a, you know, Tom Hardy was already Bane, so.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nobody
Ben Affleck
else
was already Daredevil.
That's true.
Okay, so he, his current, the movie he's shooting right now, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu's The Revenant is going over schedule, and he has to start promoting Mad Max Fury Road, which looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. So no time, basically.
So there's no time to shoot Suicide Squad. The possible replacement is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nice. I feel like that's a good call.
Yeah. I was really excited about... I love Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
I also love Jake Gyllenhaal, though.
Yeah.
I think... The only other person that they could get to replace him that I would be happy with at this point, Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
You were super mysterious there, Chris.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good fit for the role.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, yes, I agree.
But Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal,
he's
though.
The new Suicide Squad member.
I dig it, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're actually debuting a new segment.
Yes.
On the podcast.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a number of weeks ago, we actually have a some we posters.
We've been giving away.
We definitely should have plugged it last week.
It's okay.
Anyway, we have these posters that we're wanting to give away, and basically all that it takes to get a poster, and they are Interstellar posters.
Yeah, no, well... They were
Interstellar posters and a Guardians of the Galaxy poster. Both of them are our first, like, basically previewing posters, things you got for going to the preview events and, like, the first look events and things. But anyway, so, like, we're giving these away, and all you have to do is submit a topic to us on our Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is that.
Yes.
Someone has submitted a topic.
Yes.
And has won a poster.
Yes, listener, David Wilkinson has submitted a topic and has won himself our only remaining Guardians of the Galaxy poster.
Yep. Yeah. So if you wanted the Guardians of the Galaxy poster, tough luck.
You're stuck with Interstellar. Yeah, send topics to @StayOnTargetPod. You can also send it to @JohnWright777 or @ChrisWright250. We would prefer you to send it to @StayOnTargetPod, though.
Yep.
Maybe hashtag SOT topic.
SOT topic.
Or should it be SO topic? SOT, like, kind of...
Like, stay on topic.
Stay on topic. Yes.
I like it.
SO topic.
Is this the new name of the segment, Chris?
Stay on topic.
Have we just named the new segment?
Yes.
Stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
That's a cool new name.
Yeah, yeah.
I dig it. I dig it.
I like that music as well.
All right, here we go. David Wilkinson says, dare to discuss if Disney gave Marvel or Star Wars their own theme parks, what'd be some cooler attractions they could offer?
Oh, man. This is highly relevant.
It is very highly relevant.
Seeing as we just got back from Disney.
We did, in fact.
It was a magical place.
Very magical. Like, honestly, the most magical.
Most magical place on Earth.
Think about like some of the interactive things that you could have. Like, think about like even some of
the... Is this just Star Wars or we're talking about Marvel?
Star Wars and Marvel.
Okay.
And so like I will lay this out there. There are some rumors about some of the things that they're going to revamp some of the parks. They've actually, in Hollywood Studios, they've taken out the Sorcerer's Hat.
Or it's coming down right now.
Yes, it's coming down right now. And the rumored expansion to that park and some of the expanding areas is actually for Star Wars. They're thinking about making like a bigger Star Wars portion, which would be cool, which would definitely work. I think Star Wars lends itself to that more so than Marvel. Out at Disneyland, you've already got like the Stark Expo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just, I don't know if the world of Marvel is really ready for like a land, like for like a, you to walk through. I mean, what are the main, like, can you think of, other than the Helicarrier and maybe Stark Tower, are there really any locations that you could really take from the movies and put them into a park somewhere?
That's true. I hadn't really thought about that. I hadn't thought about the fact that, you know, like you think about New Fantasyland and you have Ariel's Castle and Eric's Castle and the Beast Castle and you have like all these places. And then even like Harry Potter world, you know, you have Diagon Alley and you have Hogwarts and you have all those cool locations. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like as far as the Marvel thing goes, and even at Disney, you have like things like the Pinocchio restaurant, like the Pinocchio something house, village house, where you can go buy food. And it's like themed like the Pinocchio kind of architecture was of their house. And so like there's a lot of things like that where I just don't know if Marvel yet lends itself to that style of world building.
I think it would. You think about like I would go to some place like Asgard.
That's true. I could see that. Like, I could see, like, Thor. Yeah, they could do, like, something, like, with Thor.
Yeah.
Is there, I mean, I don't know. Captain America really doesn't have a ton.
I would go to Asgard. I would go to, like, you know, you think about, like, the prison from Guardians of the Galaxy. You could go to Tony Stark's house. You could go to Stark Tower. You could go to S.H.I.E.L.D. and, like, walk around S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, that's more of a moving thing as well. Like, I don't know. It's like a lot of the things are mobile because they have like the helicarriers.
No, I'm talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., the building that Captain America worked in the last movie.
Oh. Well, didn't that just burn down or something like that?
That's not the point. The point is that you go to the places in the movie.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems like the Marvel movies to me are more in flux than some of the Star Wars stuff. Like the Star Wars stuff has kind of institutions of like the cantina. I would love to see the cantina in a real life situation. I would love to see kind of the just Tatooine in general, or like a lot of the, like the Ewok village. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd also be awesome to see some of the Death Star stuff.
Yeah.
A Star Destroyer. Yeah.
I think you're distorting this though, because number one, we're not supposed to be saying which one would work better as a park.
That's true.
And then number two, he said which one would work as attractions, not necessarily like physical lands. Like,
gotcha.
Actually, you know, so like
it's like a ride.
It's like we have Star Tours.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not in a Star Wars land.
That's
true. But it still works really well as a ride.
That's true.
So what would work well as rides?
I feel like a ride on in like some sort of a VR type of situation with a Stark like Iron Man style.
Oh, like you get in a suit?
Yeah, or like some sort of a ride like that where you're going along with him or you're doing something like that. That'd be really fun as well. I don't know, you know, maybe a big attraction with like Thor. That sort of thing would be really fun too, like where you go alongside Thor and do like some sort of a mission there, or like a roller coaster of maybe where you're his hammer or something crazy like that. I don't know, something spinning ride where he's spinning the hammer.
That'd be
I don't know. That'd be
fun. I'll tell you what I would love to see.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a roller coaster in which you are flying around the surface of the Death Star and you go into the trench.
Ooh, yeah.
And you follow kind of the map of the first, either the first or last movie.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's the destroyed, the halfway built Death Star, and you're flying in and out of the pieces of the Death Star and you go into the trench and all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be amazing.
That'd be super cool.
That'd be very cool.
I'd be really, really excited about that. You could also do like, you know, like where you get on some of the speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi and somehow...
that'd be pretty fun.
Maybe it's some kind of swing or something like that, like giant swing where you go around.
Yeah, or like maybe a Dumbo ride in that sort of way, you know, where you're riding around in some sort of, like you could choose like a X-Wing fighter or like a TIE fighter or something like that, you know. That'd be fun.
So imagine this.
Okay.
You know how the Haunted Mansion has like the ghosts and stuff like that?
Yep.
What if it was a ride kind of like that, where instead of a haunted mansion, you're going through the forests of Endor, or where Luke and you go? What is the
Dagobah?
Yeah, Dagobah. You're on Dagobah, and you go inside the tree.
Ooh.
What is it called? The Tree of Fate, or something like that, or
the cave?
The cave.
You mean the cave? The cave. They go
what
into?
Does he call it? He calls it something.
I don't remember.
Okay, well, the cave they go into.
I just know it's the Dark Side Cave, but. Like, yes. It's where the dark side lives on that planet.
Yeah, kind of.
Basically.
What if you go inside that cave, okay, and you see all the Jedi ghosts?
Dude,
and you
be
see
super
the ghosts
cool.
of Mace Windu and Darth Vader. And
something that
the
Disney
Emperor.
Does incredibly well is these story rides. Like, think about the great movie ride Hollywood Studios, where you go through and each room is almost a different location or something like that. So I think that you're on the right track there, where like each location or each room could be a different planet and a different scene from the movie, or a different, you know, you're experiencing basically the story of it. Think about the Peter Pan ride, for instance, or the Ariel's ride, where you basically go through the movie, a truncated version of the movie and the stories. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a really cool ride to do, just going through this cool little truncated version of the stories, where you're basically a piece of the story, whether you're going through the Death Star trench or whether you're going through Endor and partying with the Ewoks after their big battle, you know, that sort of thing. So it wouldn't necessarily have to be a single location for a thing. It could be all of the locations in one cool, awesome ride.
That's true.
And I think the queue line, they do a really good job with like the queue lines, like whenever you're waiting in line for things and having interactive activities anymore. They've revamped a lot of their older rides to have better waiting lines. And so I think that it would be fun if they had like some of that interactivity with these the new parks and the new Star Wars stuff. So, yeah.
What about pod racing?
Dude, honestly, like I think that a lot of the Star Wars fans would hate that, but I probably would love it.
I'd love it. Well,
the video game has not aged well. Like if you look at the video game, and even like whenever
the 64 video game?
Yeah, like whenever you like they had it there at the arcade that we were at, actually.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't really aged.
I'm not
well.
Saying something like that, but like you're in a pod racer and, you know, like think about the test track, okay?
Ah.
That'd be awesome to be in a pod racer for that.
So it just goes really fast.
It just goes
and takes
really
you,
fast.
Yeah, or like the Rock and Roller Coaster or something like that, where it's like 0 to 60 in 2 seconds or something. You know, something crazy.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah, man, that'd be fun. And I think it would be really even more fun to see Tatooine like that, you know, to have the blurring of the sand and, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it'd just be fun.
Or like you take on the Kessel Run.
Oh, gosh,
see
dude.
If you can get it in the...
That was something that, like actually in that stream of things that was Megan Ledford actually mentioned doing the Kessel Run.
Oh, did she?
So yeah, she did. She's been on the podcast before.
What did she say?
She said just the Kessel Run would be a fun attraction to have. And I don't know what that would be like. What would that be like? Because we don't really even ever seen the Kessel Run, and it's just kind of referenced. And I kind of like that it hasn't been shown, but I think it's a cool idea. Star Tours definitely like has a lot of that wrapped up, because you do, like we said, these 9 different basically adventures that you can have or combinations that you can have together. So, I mean, like, the variants there, like, they've covered a lot of stuff. But I think there's a lot of room to grow from there and to show, because now that they own these properties, they can actually use a lot of the props from these things now. So, like, as opposed to creating a whole new ride about a new adventure, you can use the old adventures and, you know, just the same. So.
Yeah, I like that. As far as Marvel goes, let's see here. I would love to see some kind of...
I wonder about this, though, like, because does Universal have, like, a lot of Marvel rides now?
They do, but, and that's why, like, that makes me wonder, like, why, because we do have a Star Wars ride, we have Star Wars weekends, why has Disney not, like, made, like, an Avengers weekend, or why have they not
Avengers half ride? Marathon, they haven't done anything, you're right.
You know, so I don't know if, like, well, maybe there's something there, you know, like Universal has some kind of contract with the Marvel property that restricts Disney from doing it. But say they did do it, you know, like, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of roller coasters that Universal has that are just themed, like Spider-Man themed or whatever.
Right.
It'd be cool to see Disney kind of do their own kind of thing with it, you know.
Because, like, they don't really do that type of thing very often where they take, like, one of their properties. Because, like, the main roller coasters they have are basically their own standalone new things, like the Rock and Roller Coaster or, like, Space Mountain. I mean, neither of those are really branded
to... Or Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, you know, none of that is really branded to any of their movies. You know, it's not like one of them is, you know, the Frozen Roller Coaster. You know, it's not really that thing. It's an adventure in and of itself. So.
It'd be cool to have a restaurant that's the... that restaurant that the Avengers eat
that
in.
That cafe?
At the end of the first Avengers movie.
That'd be fun, dude.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
That'd be pretty cool. I think it would be cool to have some kind of, you never saw Iron Man 3, but it'd be cool to have a some kind of ride based on Iron Man 3 with all the different Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, like, actually, whenever you go to, like, the Stark Expo, like, you get to see the suits and you get to see a lot of the props and things like that from the movies, which is really cool. And I enjoyed that, but it's not really interactive and it's not really it's nothing that you can really ride or enjoy in that way. It's more of like you walk around and look around at the different pieces and then, you know, you put your face into, you know, the suit of Iron Man or whatever. So, I mean, it's like, it's not really the same as, like, you know, if they weren't all out on it. So
it'd be pretty cool if you could, like, say they have a row of, like, individual, like, things you get inside, you put on some 3D glasses and you're supposedly inside an Iron Man suit and the HUD kind of looks like it's projected on, you know, right in front of your face with the 3D glasses and you fly around and stuff like that.
So something that would be fun, like they have a ride at Disney World in Tomorrowland where it's a Lilo and Stitch ride now, but it used to be an Alien ride.
Yes.
Where the alien breaks out of this thing.
Oh my goodness.
But I think that would be cool. Like, something like that would be cool if you're, like, escorting Loki somewhere and he breaks out, you know, and there's this story with Loki where he's, you know, manipulating people and, you know, just kind of an experiential, maybe a theater based type of a ride would be fun. You know, I think that'd be awesome. So yeah,
the Alien ride, he, like, breathed on your neck at one point. Dude,
whenever I was a kid, whenever we went as a kid, I remember screaming and crying until somebody got me out of that ride because it was so scary.
It was really scary, but it was awesome.
We went on it this last time because it's Stitch, and it still sucked. Like, it still was, like, it's pretty scary, even though it's Stitch.
Is it the same thing with Stitch?
It's sort of, but, like, rather than, like, I mean, he breathes on your neck, and it's still all the lights are out and stuff. It's just too much. Like, it's still scary for little kids. Like, they even, like, have the restriction where it's like, if you're not this tall, you can't ride it.
Right.
And kids were like wondering why. And I was wondering why too, because I was like, this is a Stitch ride. What difference does it make? Let them ride, you know? But then it's like, no, it's too scary for them.
Yeah.
But it was actually, it was just not a fun ride per se. So, and I love Lilo and Stitch. So
it'd be cool to have some kind of, like, maybe another restaurant where it's the party boat, Jabba's party boat.
Oh yeah.
The barge.
Dude, that'd be fun. And then, like,
there's a Sarlacc right next to you.
Oh, dude, that'd be crazy.
You throw all your trash into the Sarlacc.
Yeah. Into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
It just goes in there.
There's a big carbonite version of Han there.
Man, that's awesome. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the dining options would be almost cooler than the regular thing, because you could go to like Stark, his tower, like there in the Avengers where he had the bar and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it would be cool to go and like have food at a place like that, mm-hmm. where like it's this kind of a cool Stark-esque restaurant. Mm-hmm. That'd be really fun.
But even Stark Tower, you know, like you think about like the Hollywood Tower of Terror. It'd be cool to do some kind of ride, something like that, where it either drops you or, you know, some other kind of gimmick with Stark Tower.
That'd be fun. Yeah, like, or even just a, something that, you know, because they have the old stuff, like whenever they flash back, mm-hmm. To like his dad and stuff like that, yeah. Some of those cool elements, like, because a lot of that in those movies was modeled after kind of the Disney's, vision of the future.
Tomorrowland
and like the models that Walt Disney had made. And the plans he'd made for Disney World. So I really think that something like that, some sort of attraction where you kind of walk around in like the old expo, maybe half of it's the new expo, Stark Expo, and then half of it's the old expo.
That'd be cool.
Like, that'd be cool. Like where you're time traveling a little bit within the framework, and maybe Captain America is in both places.
Well, it'd be cool to have Captain America, like that place from the last Captain America, where it tells the story of Cap and Bucky.
Yeah.
And whatever that place was called.
Yeah.
But they went there a couple times.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be awesome.
They're from the movies, but they also, like, they're interactive. You can walk through and read things and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think that, like, the options are really awesome. I wish that they would go ahead and start doing some of the stuff with the Marvel stuff. Like, if they're gonna do it, go ahead and start it, you know, because, like, setting the tone now for those types of attractions is probably a good thing. They've already, like I said, they've already kind of started, and it's rumored that they're going to do some big things with Star Wars. But they've had Marvel for longer, and like I don't know why they haven't done something else. And I wonder if it might be just a contractual thing. So
yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see. So, Chris.
That was a good topic.
That was a great topic.
Yeah.
That was a good news segment, too. I like it.
Yeah.
If you want a poster.
Yep.
Go ahead and send your topics to @StayOnTargetPod, #SOTopic.
Yes.
And so, Chris, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are movie prices too high?
Why, John, I think I have an answer.
Do you really? Definitively?
I mean, yes, actually.
That's awesome.
So, 2014, there was a 21% year-over-year decline in domestic box office revenues last summer.
So, Chris, this can't be because there were less films.
No, not that there were less films, and not even, honestly, that there were worse films.
Worse films, yeah.
Because last year, I think, or the year before, was kind of, like, iffy.
How many times did you go to the movie theater this year? Was it less? Was it 27% less or whatever, however many, 14% less than the year before?
No, it was not. I think it was probably more.
I agree. I think it was more as well.
There was a survey done. It was a PwC report, and 53% of respondents cited ticket price as the reason that they stayed away from movie theaters.
But Chris, ticket prices, they haven't gone up, have they?
They have gone up.
Ouch.
Yes. The average ticket price is $808 now. That's up 3.1% for the same period in 2013 and 3.9% versus 2012. An interesting statistic, by the way, is that 3D ranked last among drivers of movie attendance.
So check this out. $8 for a movie. I can't remember the last time I went to a movie for $8. Like, I feel like that's really inexpensive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, like,
I want to say I spend like $12 on a movie ticket most days.
Well, we found, so like there was a, I think earlier in the summer, I don't remember what movie we saw. There was, there's a movie theater that does, I think Tuesday prices before 5 are, I don't remember how much it was, like $6 or something like that.
Whenever the moon is in the 12 o'clock position. I mean, just like, you know, on Tuesdays between 3 and 5.
That's true.
Whenever the doorman winks at you, you get a deal.
Yeah. That kind of does happen. So, but that happened once. And I think there's a movie theater around here that like releases movies like 3 months after they come, the other ones. And
do those even count? I guess they do.
No, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I guess that counts towards the sales towards those movies. Like, those movies still make money off of it.
Yeah.
So I imagine that would count here. So like the Dollar Theater or whatever that gets it after it's out on video for 4 months.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would make sense. Like, the average would make sense. But like, I don't know, $8 just seems like a good price to pay.
Oh yeah, $8 because I mean definitely like whenever I go see a movie, you know, like most of the time it's like $14. If you want 3D, it's going to be like $16. And if you want an IMAX movie, it's going to be $20 a piece.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, and that's nuts. And so the thing about, like, 3D to me is I really don't like going to see things in 3D. And more I've heard that, like, where people will avoid the 3D showings.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not a draw. I mean, they have not yet proven 3D in terms of, like, that it makes a movie experience better.
There are movies where I'm like, okay, that was better in 3D than it would have been otherwise. Like, you know, like Big Hero 6, we referenced the great 3D in that. And then also like Gravity. Gravity had great 3D. So it's like there are some movie experiences that I can point at and say, hey, yeah, the 3D enhanced that. But the vast majority of them, super gimmicky. And especially even like the bigger blockbusters like The Hobbit. I mean, there's no reason to go see that in 3D.
Yeah.
In fact, it detracts from the movie sometimes because like they'll put something incredibly close to your face and it just like takes you out of the moment.
Right.
And so I don't know. It's like it just seems like to me that that's a misstep that we've been making for years, because if I can only point at two or three, because Bolt was also a good one, also a Disney movie, also animated.
Right.
But it's like if you can point at only three, maybe four movies that it's been really good and beneficial towards and like has enhanced the movie-going experience, is it really worth it to put all this money into 3D and to be the next thing? It almost seems like at this point, movies are just grasping for something that you can't get at home.
Yeah. Well, here's some other
in order to find it.
Statistics. After pricing, 41% said that movies were not as interesting to them. 30% said they want to watch movies on their own schedules,
which
means at home. And 29% said they'd prefer to spend on different recreational activities. So here's the thing. That second stat there about people wanting to watch on their own schedules, it's not like there's not a billion showtimes. Like, you can watch movies in the theater on your own schedule.
Right. Like every 2 hours, like after one shows, they pop another one up. You know?
Like every hour. So it's like what they're saying is they want to watch it at home, because, you know, you think about our entertainment systems are getting better. Our televisions are getting bigger and look better. Our sound systems like rival the movie theater experience sometimes. And so like there's...
And it's instantaneous too. Like most people who consume a lot of entertainment have Netflix. Most people have like a Hulu. Like you have some way that you can get the movies straight to your television. Televisions most of the time nowadays, like if you buy a new television, it's a smart TV. It's got an app for you to rent movies directly onto your TV.
Yeah.
And so like that's an issue as well, because the convenience of sitting down and saying, hey, listen, I want to watch this movie.
Right.
And it instantly pops on my television. I don't even have to go to Redbox anymore. You know, you don't even have to go to the Blockbuster because Blockbuster's gone. And Redbox is another thing. Like as you're walking out of like your Walmart or as you're walking out of your grocery store, you can just pick up a movie there. You know, and you know you're going to go back the next day and return it. You know, no problems. Or you can return it somewhere completely different.
Right.
So, I mean, the convenience thing, you're right, that it's not a theater thing. It's a theater versus a home thing. It's not like the theaters just aren't offering the showtimes that I want.
Right. And you know, so whenever you look at it, it really does come down to, like you said, it comes down to, okay, what is the value add that going to an actual theater actually gives me? You know, like, okay, is it a, you know, you think about an IMAX showing, is it a bigger screen with better sound? You know, in that case, it's worth it. Is it the 3D? Obviously not. That's not what drives the ticket sales.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be the high frame rate like they tried with The Hobbit. That doesn't drive ticket sales. You know, the food, it just kind of depends on the theater. You know, you think about like... whenever I go down to some AMC theaters, they have really good food.
That's
you know, like I would go grab, you know, like some chicken wings and sit there and eat a pile of those while watching a movie. Like that would be amazing. But like some other theaters, they don't offer that kind of stuff. It's like you get popcorn and maybe some nachos, you know?
Yeah. Well, something you should link to in the podcast notes on stayontargetpodcast.com is last, I don't even remember when it was in the summer, we were talking to our cousin, Matt Dean, who like, you know, he travels a lot, and he was down in Mexico for a while, and they would have theaters where you can sit on like a reclining couch and they will like a waiter will come and take your order and bring you food. And so there's this big experiential, you know, dining experience that goes along with the movie going experience as
And we have those here, you know, like, and so, you know, you have those kinds of things. You have like full service, like sit down meal kind of experiences. Yeah, like it comes down to like, okay, what is the experience that you're looking for and how much are you willing to pay for it?
Right.
And I think a large part of it is like the prices increasing year over year doesn't necessarily help. It's like, well, this is the exact same experience as last year, but now it costs a dollar more.
Yeah.
Is that worth it to me? Yeah. I don't know. You know, not if I have a family of five, it's, you know, two adults and three kids. Is the extra money worth it?
I mean, $100 or so to go to the movies is a lot, you know? And so, and it's a lot to spend, you know, even, you know, once a month or something like that, let alone any more than that. What's also interesting, I heard some people last time I was at the theaters or wherever, they were talking about what kinds of movies they like to go to the theaters for. And they were talking about, like, it used to be, I would go for these big blockbusters, big movies, you know, Transformers and, mm-hmm. and action movies and things like that. But they're like, anymore, the movies that I want to go to the theaters for are these, like, they're intimate, kind of smaller, like, dramatic type of movies where it's like, they want to see, you know, on this big screen and go to the classic movie going experience and see the dramatic movies or like the movies that are going to be Oscar nominees and things like that versus going for the the nonsensical plot of say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something like that, you know.
Well, I mean,
they would rather rent those and go see the good plots and the good, you know, the good stories.
Well, I think that kind of just comes with age, you know, like you know you're going to get, as you get older, you want to spend money on things that are more emotionally satisfying rather than just this, like, hey, this is just a bunch of eye candy. So, you know, like, we'd have to pair these numbers with, like, okay, is there a decrease or increase in different age groups going to the theater?
Interesting.
You know, like, we'd have to pair that kind of information with that. Whereas, you know, I do agree, you know, like, there's sometimes, you know, like, you know, like I always go to the Best Picture Showcase, AMC Best Picture Showcase, and they play all the Best Picture nominees from each year. And so, you know, I gladly spend as much money as I need to on that.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think it's necessarily much cheaper. It might be a little bit cheaper than it would be otherwise, but you get like, you know, you get some posters and like there's a lot of value adds. And so I think that's my point with like, if you're going to increase ticket prices, you need to be giving us more in the experience in some way. Either give us, you know, some value adds, like we get some posters sometimes whenever we go to these premieres, you know, IMAX showings, or you know, like you get like this cool lanyard whenever you do the Best Picture Showcase, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think one movie that the 3D was kind of a selling point was whenever we went to go see Jurassic Park in IMAX 3D.
That's right.
It was re-released, you know.
That's right.
Things like that, like I have no problem spending money on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool experience that maybe happens once in a lifetime. You know, we saw, what was it? Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
In IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool experience.
Man, and like even like great movies, like experience. Like I like more things for the experience. Same thing as like I mentioned collectibles. Like you don't really collect things for the collectibles a lot of times. You collect them for the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like these things that are experiential. Like I want to go to the movies and have an experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go to the movie and like, I went to the movies because there was nothing else to do. It's you want to go and you want to, you know, whenever you get this poster for great movies, for like Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever, it's like you can then either, you know, put that poster in your closet, hang it up on your wall, whatever you're going to do with it. But you have something to remember that and be like, hey, that was a fun experience that I had. Or like with Interstellar, where you're like, hey, I have this poster and it's this really cool thing.
Yeah.
And so like that to me, like the experience and getting more memories for your dollar. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you got to increase that. Most of the time, whenever you go to the theater though, you know, you walk in and it's like, there's popcorn spilled all over the floor. And you know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. They can do a little bit more for you to do it, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times, like nowadays they'll tout like, oh, and they have the leather seats and the loudest, you know, the loudest theaters. And I'm just like, come on, people. I don't care about leather seats and I don't care about loud theaters. I'd rather it be a little bit quieter than it is most of the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You know, like, you know, there was a kind of a prequel comic that was released about Interstellar. It wasn't. It was just released digitally. What if they had printed that up and handed that to you as you walked out of the theater?
Oh man, I would have paid an extra $5 or $6 to see that movie.
I would have too,
for sure.
So you want to get my extra dollar? Do something like that. You know,
yeah,
and I'll be there whenever you tell me to be there.
Yeah,
and pay however much you tell me to pay.
Yeah,
and so, you know, I think it just comes back to, like, you know, the market, and like, okay, the market will determine whether or not, you know, they can do these higher prices. You know, like if people stop going and stop paying, they'll have to either freeze them or lower prices. You know, they can't keep, you know. I mean, where are we going to stop? We're going to stop where a normal movie, a regular movie, it's now about $14.
Yeah.
We're going to stop whenever it's $20.
Well, also, this is a big spiral. Like, this is a big black hole that you get into, because they're going to raise prices because less people are coming, and then less people are going to come because the prices are going up.
Right.
And then they're going to have to raise prices, because like, their costs don't go down. They still show those movies at those times and have that staff on there, even if nobody shows up, which is part of the problem here, because it's like, even if, you know, whenever nobody shows up or whatever, they still have those costs, so they have to raise prices in order to compensate. So it's like, we're kind of, you at some point you see that spiral, that downward spiral of like,
right,
it just goes down and down and down. But I don't know, I mean, it's just, where does it stop? They have to do something to incentivize going. So
yeah, I agree. You know, like, whether it's, you know, special attractions, you know, maybe. Maybe I know there's some theaters that do double features. You know, that's attractive. You know, like, making an experience, you know, with the food that they offer, or the way in which they offer the food, or the way in which you view it. You know, with the IMAX, it's definitely like, you know, you think about Interstellar. It was a cool experience because it was on film. You know, like, I'm sure that drove a lot more ticket sales than it would have normally. You know, like, and so...
Well, even like, I went and saw it a couple times in theaters, and I probably, if it hadn't been that way, I would have seen it once and been done.
Yeah.
And Gravity was the same way, where it was like, I will never see this movie this way, with this sound again. You know, and I think sound is a lot to me. Like, where, you know, even if you have a home system that's amazing or whatever, you can't really get the rumble and the shake of everything, you know, of that rocket ship taking off. So I don't know. I mean, it's like, there's a lot going on with good, really well done movies that make me come back for the experience.
Yeah.
But honestly, the vast majority of movies don't do that. And so the theaters, if they really want you to get you, they need to provide that to you, or some sort of an incentive.
And some theaters are doing it. AMC does it all the time. They have a lot of movie marathons. They have a lot of cool, cool offers all the time. You know, like, IMAX tends to do it a lot. Like, they're about to release the last two episodes of season 4 of Game of Thrones in IMAX. And so, like, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, right before season 3 starts up, you go see the last two of season 4 in the IMAX. You know, like, that's some extra revenue. So, like,
is that something that you would pay for, like, every week? Would you go and see, like, a TV show if they, like, broadcast it in the theater? Would you go and pay for, you know, maybe a season pass for your, like, your theater pass to go see this thing?
I don't think I wouldn't pay, like, to go see every week, because it's not something I want to necessarily commit that much time to, if that's, like, the only place I can see it, or if I'm paying for the whole season ahead of time, you know, maybe one or two. But, like, you know, like, if it's something like that, where it's like they make it an event, you know, it's like, this is a special event where we're one weekend only, like, right before the next season comes out, you see the previous two episodes. Like, that'd be super cool. I would even do, say, before The Walking Dead started back up, they were like, hey, we're showing the entire first half of the season in theaters for the night before.
Yeah.
Like, for however long, 10 hours it would take.
Yeah.
I would totally go to that.
Or even maybe doing, you know, like the premiere. Would you go see, like, a premiere episode, like, of season 7 or whatever of the, you know, begins its first episode? This is the world premiere of the episode. You're going to go to the theater and watch it.
Yeah, I'd definitely do that.
It'd be great.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I feel like that type of thing would be really cool too. And television at this point is getting, production wise, to the point where it's almost indistinguishable between movies and that. So it's like, it's getting better and better. And so seeing it in the movie theaters is not that much of a stretch.
Right.
So.
Well, and you know, you think about, like, there are very few event shows that people watch live anymore. You know, right. It's like, you know, you have The Walking Dead, you have like Game of Thrones, like it's the hot button shows. Everything else, everyone DVRs and just watch delayed.
Yeah.
And so it would be cool to like, hey, let's make it even more of an event and put it in theaters and see what the response is.
You know, something like Lost or something like that, the season finale or the series finale of Lost, like how many theaters would have sold out if they had offered that, you know? And so like, I just wonder that, you know, maybe as series is wrap up and that sort of thing, maybe the finales and things. I mean, think about like Seinfeld, if like this last episode of Seinfeld or the last episode of any show of The Friends. Fugitive back in the day, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Friends. Or, you know, I mean, even if they play certain episodes in theaters again, like if there was a greatest hits of mm-hmm. whatever series of Friends per mm-hmm. se, and they play that in the theater, I think a lot of people would go and do it, you know, and it's like, what does that cost the theater? Not a ton.
Right.
They may have to pay some licensing to actually be able to broadcast it, but I don't know. You know, it's like, it's something like that would really change the game, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I hope we live to see the day where things like that come to pass.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
What if we broadcast this a year from now, Chris, this episode? Like
this
we said,
this was going to be the delayed one.
This is the future.
And then next year, it's actually happening.
It's happening.
We would look like prophets,
dude,
John.
It would be amazing. We should do it.
Yeah,
we should just do it.
No, because we need something for next week. We've already discussed this last week. I can't handle the show on my own, John.
It's just too much stress.
It's way too much stress. Maybe next time. I'll plan ahead next time.
Yes,
and I will take on the show. It's going to be called Chris Takes on Stay on Target. I don't. That doesn't really flow off the tongue, and I don't like it.
No,
let's not call it that.
Let's not call it that.
Yeah, I'll figure out a better name, and I will host it myself
before the next time I leave town.
Yeah, whenever that may be.
Whenever I have nothing on the books, so well, like whenever that happens,
you know, maybe just I'll tell you to get out of town. I'll send you on a vacation. How about
so
that?
So something that, yeah, I would love that. Just actually, pay for my vacation. I'm not going to do that. I like it, Chris.
Don't hold
so
me to that.
Something I did want to mention is this is episode 90. We are 10 episodes away from episode 100 of the Stay on Target podcast.
That's awesome.
We'll have to do something really special for episode 100.
Yes. We.
I've got some ideas.
I want to do a live show.
That'd be fun, dude. Like a stream
lot of,
it?
With a lot of our friends who have been on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be super fun, dude. Like a panel of sorts.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll have to start planning that. And once we have more of the details, we will be revealing them to everyone. So,
Yeah.
We should probably wrap up the segment.
Yeah. We're pretty much done talking about movie theaters now.
Yep.
But yeah, so anyway, you
know. Maybe one day our podcast will be broadcast into at least one live movie theater.
That would be amazing.
Somewhere.
If you also feel like movie tickets are too high, or you just stop going to movies and you have another reason, tweet at us at ChrisWright250
and JohnWright777
or at Stay on Target Pod.
You could even make it the like your political party or your political statement of the movie tickets are too dang high.
Yes. All right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes,
that would be amazing.
Okay.
I'll post a link to the rent is too high. Party on stayontargetpodcast.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you can find us on stayontargetpodcast.com. We will be back next week with a live show and two episodes of Arrow on Target and two episodes of Flash on Target.
There's going to be lots of stuff for you to listen to next week.
Yes, lots of stuff. And so stay tuned for that. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.